Welcome to EnviroPod, a chance to catch up with all the good things your Department of Public Works and Environmental Services does to maintain and improve the environment in Fairfax County. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco, and on this edition of the podcast, I'm speaking with Heather Coulter, Urban Conservation Specialist, and Dan Schwartz, Soil Scientist, with the Northern Virginia Soil and Water Conservation District. We're going to be talking all about the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program offered by the county, and it's a pleasure to have you both here. Heather, Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Let's start off with something might seem like a softball, but living in the county for about 13 years now, I know that there is some flooding in Fairfax County, but how prevalent is it?
So it's a pretty prevalent issue. A lot of Fairfax County is very urban, so lots of concrete, lots of impervious surfaces, which means that water can't penetrate through. So it becomes runoff that, you know, cascades kind of over cars, pavement, asphalt, houses. And can, you know, eventually make its way to the storm drains. But with the runoff, it can gather a lot of different kinds of, like, pollutants. Or it can butt up against, you know, places where, you know, water isn't normally, like, right up against the basement. And, you know, with increasing climate change, storms can be worse. The storm that prompted the county to create FMAP actually in 2019 was like 5 inches of rain in under an hour.
Jeez.
So it is pretty prevalent, you know, due to a lot of impervious surface and then the increasing climate conditions.
Dan, are there parts of the county where it's worse?
Well, certainly, and I think people have this misconception that it only floods in floodplains. So certainly around major streams, you're going to have floodplains. And in those floodplains, we can expect, you know, fairly significant flooding at a fairly significant pace. But even if you're high and dry with these intense thunderstorms that we're getting and all the stormwater runoff that Heather mentioned, you're not immune from problems like wetness in the basement. So there's all this sort of very localized nuisance flooding that is possible as well too. But certainly there are areas of the county that are lower, that are within established floodplains that are near major streams where you can expect more severe flooding, more frequent flooding to occur. But just because your property is on top of a hill and normally high and dry, when you have one of these wild thunderstorms, it's still possible that a little bit of water could sneak through a crack in your basement wall or through the window well of your basement as well, too. And that's really what this program is intended to address.
Well, what kind of damage do you see in single-family homes? I'm thinking single-family homes in particular because I would imagine apartment buildings, that's just the owner's problem. But in terms of single-family homes, what do people find when they have flood damage?
So it can be, I mean, on the walls, it can be, you know, staining the flooring. It can be a very emotional experience as well. Nobody wants water where it's not supposed to be. It can damage, you know, utilities, you know, large utilities that are often kept in the basement, like water heaters. So it can definitely accrue, you know, a lot of damage.
And there can be hidden damage as well, too. If it's a small leak, something that you don't recognize for a while, the water can build up behind drywall or in other places where it's not visible. It can cause issues with rot, with molding that may not become evident for a couple months or even a couple years in some cases. And then when you do find it, it can be both an expensive thing to fix and a disruptive thing for those living in the house as well, too.
So it could become structural, not just cosmetic.
It could potentially be both, yeah. I think people have this conception that flooding is 3 or 4 feet of water sloshing up against your house. With this program, we're aiming to assist with basically building up the flood resiliency of all structures within Fairfax County, all residential and homeowners association structures. So whether it's that more major flooding or some of that smaller scale stuff, we want to give people the option to do things on their own property that they wish to do to not necessarily negate all flood damage, but build up the resiliency and make their home a little bit more resistant to flooding in the future so they don't have to deal with these sorts of things.
Heather, you mentioned the emotional impact. I have a good friend who lost a collection of electronics that was kind of improperly stored, well, he learned later, when he had a flood, and it tore him apart for a while. I can totally relate to how horrible that would be. So tell us about the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program and who's eligible.
So the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program is a grant reimbursement program offered to residents of Fairfax County, excluding the towns of Vienna and Herndon. It offers 50% reimbursement up to $5,000 maximum for projects or products purchased and installed on the property.
So if I discover there's a compromised area in my foundation, I can have it worked on and then submit this to the county and possibly get it paid for?
Yeah, it's an upfront cost. It depends on what kind of problem you've found in your foundation. Like if it's a crack, that can be, remedied with injected like waterproof sealant or a waterproof membrane. It's something that you could either do yourself, you could have a contractor do it, and we can reimburse the labor. Permits would probably be involved from Fairfax County. So once all of those things are obtained, you would apply with us at Northern Virginia Soil and Water through our online portal, and then we would reimburse you after everything is kind of all said and done.
In your experience, what are the most common forms of flood protection that people find themselves needing?
So far, it's been quite a range through our program. We've had several people apply for battery backups for their sump pump, but we've also had several people apply for much larger projects like waterproof sealants on their foundation. Several people have put in new sump pumps and sub-slab drainage systems as well, too. So it's an interesting range. We see projects ranging from just a few $100 up to $12,000, $15,000, $20,000 in some cases. Wow.
Okay, forgive my ignorance. I've heard the term so many times, but I just don't have one in my house. What is a sump pump?
A sump pump is basically a pump that is set into a crock that is set into the slab, the floor of your house. Underneath your house, underneath your slab, there are French drains, perforated pipes that drain water into that crock. The crock fills up. There's a little float valve on the sump. When that valve floats up because the crock is being filled with water, the pump kicks on and pumps water out of your house. So it's usually a means to control rising groundwater from below, not so much a flood prevention technique, but it can help in many cases with getting water away from the house. But generally, it's more for high groundwater.
Okay. All right. Well, what kind of water damage does FMAP, and for those listening, that's the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program, what kind of water damage does this not cover?
Well, it wouldn't cover burst pipes. It basically is for natural flooding. So waters or groundwaters from the exterior of the house that enter into the house. If you have a burst pipe, if you have an overflowing sink, unfortunately, that's a plumbing issue, not a flooding issue. So FMAP can't pay for the repairs to that. FMAP also cannot pay for the remediation of past damage. So for instance, if you had flooding, your carpet in the basement got ruined, you wanted to replace the carpet with new carpet, we can't pay for that. What we can pay for is an upgrade to the flooring to make it more resilient to future flooding. We want to see that preventative action. So if you remove that carpet and replaced it with something like a flood-resistant flooring, like vinyl plank or something like that, that is a project that we could cover. But replacement for like materials is not something that we can cover.
Gotcha. Heather, how long has FMAP been going, and how much public support have you gotten for it?
Yeah, so we launched July 1st of 24, so 7 months.
Okay.
And we've been trying to publicize it as much as we can. Our partners at Fairfax County have been doing a great job with posting on social medias. We actually are working with DPWES to mail out flyers to more at-risk properties that are in floodplains, even though anyone in the county can apply. Is it okay to say how much money we've sent?
Sure.
Cool. I think we've gotten like $50,000 out the door.
Wow.
So far, which is great. And I mean, we have, still like 120,000 left. So we want the money gone. We want to give it back to the residents of Fairfax County.
So how does it get funded? Where does that money come from?
It comes from the Stormwater Service Fee.
Okay.
So, part of your property taxes basically are paying for it. That goes into a pool of money that pays for all stormwater projects throughout the county, big projects like stream restorations as well. Public Works has been kind enough to carve off a little chunk of that pool for us to help fund the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program.
Well, okay, so you mentioned that this is definitely countywide. You don't have to live in a floodplain area or anything like that. But what about homeowners if they experience sort of repeated issues? Can they keep coming back to the well?
Yes. So the $5,000 maximum can be obtained through, you know, many different small projects. You can do one big $10,000 project, or you could do 10 $1,000 projects, which would, you know, reach to your $5,000 maximum. We have had an applicant reapply already, so we love that. That's great. But the $5,000 cap is per property. So when you do reach the $5,000 reimbursement maximum, and then say you move, you can definitely, within the county, you can utilize FMAP again at your new property if it hasn't been maxed out already. But then whomever moves into the old home, they would not be able to continue to apply if that max has already been reached at the property. So it's per property, not homeowner.
Not per person. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense. Why not just use your homeowner's insurance?
Most homeowner's insurance doesn't cover flood damage. You usually have to buy a separate policy through the federal government's National Flood Insurance Policy. Some people do have that. Some people are actually required to have that if their home is in a floodplain. Mm-hmm. But I'd say most people who are not in floodplains probably don't have that insurance. So if you do have flood damage and you don't have that specific flood insurance policy, for the most part, it won't be covered by your home insurance. I will say that with a big grain of salt. I'm not an insurance salesman. I'm not an insurance agent. So, you know, check with your agent. Make sure you really understand what's in your policy. But from my understanding, generally, general homeowner's insurance does not cover flood damage.
Do you know why that is, either of you?
I don't.
I don't know, yeah.
It might just because of the extreme costs. I know that flooding is one of the I think it's the costliest natural disaster in the United States. And not saying that, you know, one flood is the most costly, but all the floods across the country as a whole, you add up the damage from them, it causes more damage than hurricanes, fires, tornadoes, and the like.
Have you seen how the county has been mitigating the effects of runoff due to all the impervious surfaces? I mean, I know this flood mitigation assistance program is awesome for the end user, but before the water even gets to the flooded house, what kind of things do you all do to try and minimize that?
Well, and speaking for the county, so it's a little strange. The Conservation District is actually an independent agency, so we work frequently with the county, but we are not the county. But I know the county, through their Maintenance and Stormwater Management Division, they manage thousands of miles of stormwater pipes. They keep them in very good condition. You'll see crews out every day making sure that things are, you know, inlets are unblocked, that pipes are not cracked, that everything's working as it should. But these pipes are designed for a certain volume of water. So when you have that 2019 storm, like we mentioned, that dropped 5 inches of rain in under an hour, even the clearest, best draining, best functioning system is going to back up. And it's just not built for that volume of water. So even with the best functioning stormwater system, and I think Fairfax has a very good functioning system, with these extreme events, you are going to get some system failures and some backups that could cause flooding and damage to homes. With smaller storms, too, the water still has to get to the stormwater system first. So our office actually gets a lot of calls and complaints from homeowners who are having this minor nuisance flooding in their backyard because stormwater is flowing through their property on its way to a storm drain. The county, unfortunately, can't really do much about that. It's not the county's responsibility until it gets into that storm drain. But if folks are having just general issues with erosion, drainage on their property, they can call us for a technical consultation as well, too. Oftentimes, those consultations will lead to the FMAP program. Mm-hmm. Say, well, you know, this looks like you might need a sump pump here or a better window well. Hey, and by the way, there's this program that can help you cover the costs. These technical consultations are just general. So if we see a solution that is not eligible for the FMAP and we think that's the best one, that's the one that we will recommend to the homeowner.
Okay. Well, this is a great program for homeowners. What about commercial properties? Is there a lot of commercial properties in Fairfax? Is there some sort of program for them?
Not currently. I don't know if you want
to. I'd say, too, you know, we've been talking about homeowners a lot, and that has been the primary applicant to the program so far. Mm-hmm. But places of worship and homeowners associations can apply as well. The only restrictions, unfortunately, we do have is commercial properties cannot apply, and properties in Vienna and Herndon are not allowed to apply as well, too. So there are some properties that are not eligible for FMAP, but most other ones are. So if you have a church, for instance, that has some flooding issues, please apply. If you have some flooding issues on a property that's owned by the HOA or even on the HOA's land, you can apply as well, too.
Those are actually great things to know because especially houses of worship, you know, that cash can get tight in a house of worship. So it's nice to know that there's some sort of protection in those places. What about how can listeners find out more? How can they apply? And what's the application process like?
Yeah, so they can visit our website, Northern Virginia Soil and Water Conservation.org/soil-. It's a bunch of different, I don't know what it is. But we can give you a QR code also.
Okay.
I don't know if that can be like posted in the you know, more info. But they can also email us, conservationdistrict@fairfaxcounty.gov. And yeah, just, you know, Googling, they can look up on Fairfax County's website as well. If they just Google like in that soil or mm-hmm. conservation, then we'll probably be the first one that pops up.
Yeah. We have a really long URL. So I think the best thing to do is go to fairfaxcounty.gov. Yeah. There's a little search bar. Right in the top right, put in Flood Mitigation Assistance Program, and that'll take you right to our website.
And is the application process pretty simple?
Yeah, it is. So like we said, it is like a reimbursement program. So it's you don't apply until everything has been purchased, installed, and there are photos taken. So you, we have an approved list of practices that has around 25, projects or things that are on it, ranging from like flood alert systems to battery backups for your sump pumps, French drains around your foundation, regrading earthen berms, among many others. And then we also do have an other category. So, if there isn't something that is specifically on the list, but if somebody, applies and they and their project has good merit, those can be reviewed on a case-by-case basis for approval as well, which is really great. I think it really opens the door for really unique solutions to flooding problems.
I would say, too, if you're not sure what you should do on your property, you know you have some flooding damage or some flooding issues, but you don't know which way to go, you can call us first for advice. Mm-hmm. Or if you have something in mind that's not on our approved list of practices, that is in that other category, but you don't want to roll the dice and install it and then apply and run the risk that it's not going to be approved, you can talk to us first. We can kind of give you a pre-approval, if you will, not necessarily pre-approval, but pre-review mm-hmm. and tell you, yeah, you're on the right track. This is looking really good. You have a very good chance at approval.
Yes, always good to talk to us first. But yeah, and then it's all through our online portal. You know, there'll be questions that ask just like what you did, how much money. There'll be a way to upload your receipts. An itemized receipt is the best, especially if it's through a waterproofing company, because that way we can see like where the permit cost breaks down, where the labor cost breaks down, because those can be incredibly expensive, those aspects of it. And then, yeah, as many photos that kind of encompass the finished project, if there are any before photos, that's great, but not required. But just showing, you know, if you purchased, you know, showing the box and then showing it in the, you know, wherever it needs to be on the outside and the inside of the home. And then our turnaround process has been pretty good. We're turning around applications probably within 3 to 4 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah. And then we send a check. And then that is considered income, so then a 1099 CK is received, you'll get in January of the following year. So
okay.
You get it in January 26 if you apply and are approved this year.
Another important detail, no doubt. We want to stay on the up and up with our taxes. So before I let you guys go, anything I haven't asked that's important about the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program?
I think we just want to reiterate that Again, you don't have to have a property in a floodplain. You don't even have to have flooded in the past either. Just if you want, if you are a Fairfax County resident, homeowners association, or a place of worship, and for whatever reason you want to install some flood mitigation that will help hopefully prevent future flooding, you are eligible to apply and encouraged to apply as well, too.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, Dan. Thank you, Heather, so much for joining me here. It's been a very informative talk about the Flood Mitigation Assistance Program, and like I said, something that affects a lot of people in the county. And thank you for listening to EnviroPod. If you want to get more information on the Fairfax County Department of Public Works and Environmental Services and all that it does, go to fairfaxcounty.gov/publicworks or call 703-324-5033. Weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Thanks again for joining us on EnviroPod, which is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.